How many of you ever knew that chapter 118 was the center of the Bible? Cool. How many of you knew verse 8 said what it says? I just looked at that, you know, when I think about children's sermons and God's Word, because we're going to be talking about God's Word today. We're going to be talking about the Bible today. And the reality is there's so much in there, you know, and you all have heard me say this so many times, it probably wears thin on you. But, you know, I remember the Prego commercial, okay? It's in there. If you have something you want to find out, if you're questioning something, open the book. It's in there, okay? It's Prego. In fact, it's better than Prego because it will save you. It is life unto you, and it is the way unto life. So, you know, let us remember those realities. And today, as we get into the Word, it's looking at those realities, knowing that God has something to speak to us and give us a reality from His Word. Our sermon title today is The Inspired Word of God, which really is the second or the first sermon of two on the Bible. And I've entitled this little mini-series, What We Believe About the Bible. Okay? The Bible contains 66 books in the Old and New Testaments. It encompasses almost 2,000 years of history. It's right around 1,900 years, okay? It is written in three languages and has 40 different human writers. Now, note I didn't say authors. It has 40 different human writers because there's only one author of the Scripture. And the author of the Scripture is God. Through the power of His Holy Spirit, the author of the Scripture is God. How do we know this? Turn in your Bible, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to be looking at two little scriptures, and we're going to speak them together, verses 16 and 17, 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 16. I see some pages still flipping. We'll wait. Thus saith the word of the Lord, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's Scripture is God-breathed. What does that mean? Well, when you write something down, as some of you are doing right now, writing your notes, what do you use to do it? Use a pen or a pencil, some type of writing object, right? Well, guess what God used? Men. Men were God's writing object. God spoke His Word through the power of the Holy Spirit into the individuals, and they penned the very words, nay, the very letters that God wanted imposed upon the original autographs. You'll have to pardon me. I feel great, but I still have this tickle in my throat. That's why I got a lozenge in. What do I mean by the original autographs? Is this book the original autographs? No, it's written in one language, isn't it? It's written in English. The original languages were Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. And the original autographs means as the original writers penned them. All right? When Paul wrote his epistles, when Moses wrote the Pentateuch, what's the Pentateuch? First five books of the Bible were called the Pentateuch, okay? When Elijah wrote, when Jeremiah wrote, when each individual wrote, they penned as the Holy Spirit gave them the unction. What do I mean by that? Just that. As the Holy Spirit moved them along, as the Holy Spirit carried them, they penned the very letters to the very words in the very real way that God wanted them done. And the amazing thing is, He used not only the person, but He used their lives. When Luke wrote as a doctor. He used language that a doctor would use. He used metaphors and similes that a doctor would use. When Paul wrote, he wrote as an educated man. Please remember, Paul was a what? He was a Pharisee. He was of the legal line. He was one of the lawyers, a religious lawyer, if there is such a thing, of the old day. Yeah, Marion's laughing. She got that one. And if there are any lawyers in the group, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. But when we think about the reality, God used not only their words, but their very lives. The very things that He wanted said in the manner He wanted them said were given through the life of the individual. So it's not just the word that we get, it's the total being. And that by the power of the Holy Spirit. Everything they said, everything they wrote in their original autographs, in the original writings. We don't have any of them anymore. Okay, they're all gone. But what we do have are copies of copies of copies of copies. And a lot of folks say, well, then do we really have the inspired Word of God anymore? Yes, we do. Because the reality is the Bible stands the greater test of literacy and accuracy than any other book known to man. And it's also the most disputed. It's one of the most amazing things that I think is out there. The reality that we have so many copies of copies of copies and they're all identical. I mean, when you go to Israel, when I was over there, we went into the shrine that's in Israel where they put the Dead Sea Scrolls, okay? And you open up the book of Ezekiel and you read the book of Ezekiel compared to what we have as the book of Ezekiel. Now, I hate to tell you, you can't read it because I don't know Hebrew and I don't think any of you do either. But those who have translated it from the Hebrew into our language today, it says the same thing. It's identical. We're talking over 1,000 years in lifespan. And it's the same thing that we have today. And we have that same reality with all of the Scripture. Because God superintended it to stay. Now, does that mean that because I use the NIV, okay? Here's the NIV Bible. Mitch, what Bible do you use? King James. Well, I've got the inspired Word of God. What do you have?
Same thing.
What? How does that happen? How can he have a different translation and yet it's the same inspired Word of God as mine? How does that happen? Because it is not a word written by men. It is a word written by God. And within it, it is the very Word of God. See, one of the things I need you to understand is not the reality. You know, there's a lot of folks out there right now, they're running around, they're saying, well, the truth, you know, the real Word of God, it's in there somewhere, pregu, right? But we have to tell you what's in there that's right. Because there's some things in there that aren't right. You know, there's some things in there that were added, and there's some things in there that aren't true. Well, the reality is, it's all true. The whole thing is the Word of God, all right? We can't pick and choose it. God chose it. God spoke it. God set it down. It's been translated and given unto us in various different forms, in the RSV, the ESV, the CBF, the PDQ, the XYZ, right? There are so many different translations out there, it is unreal. And we're translating more and more all the time. Right now, in our world, the Bible has been translated into the whole Bible, Old and New Testament, translated into over 450 languages. The New Testament and portions of the Old Testament, or small portions of either, have been translated into over 2,500 languages total. Okay? So there's a lot of different languages out there. We say, and now I want you to look at inspiration here, all right? What does inspiration mean? We're going to look at that in just a moment. We say that God lives in our hearts. Now, if you were in a certain tribe over in Africa and you said, you know, God lives in your heart, they would look at you and say, so? But if you look at them and their translation says, and God lives in our liver. Now, when you and I think about that, what in the world? God lives in my liver. Who cares? I have cirrhosis of the liver. Nobody's laughing. It's not a funny thing, is it? The reality is, for those people in Africa, the center of their being is their liver. Because that's what we're talking about when we say God lives in our heart, aren't we? The center of our being, our soul, our spirit. We're not actually saying our heart. You know, if the doctors open up my heart and give me open heart surgery, are they going to find Jesus in there? No. They're going to find a bunch of blood and some Miss Faye. What are they going to find in there? Miss Faye knows all too well what they're going to find in there, right? And the reality is, we're talking a spiritual reality. So for those who, their Bible's translated a little bit different, it's still inspired because it means the same thing. And we need to understand that God gives us this inspiration spanning 2,000 years, spanning three languages, spanning 40 different writers. And that is one of the awesome things about the Scripture. Though it is written over a period of time that seems immeasurable, though it is written in three different languages, and though it has 40 authors, the unity of the Bible cannot be denied. From beginning to end, there is no contradiction in the Bible. And that's one of the things I love talking to people about the Bible who really don't know the Bible. They've never read it, but they've heard things. You know, the Bible says God helps those who help themselves, right? No, it doesn't. That's not in there anywhere. You know, there are so many things that we hear are in there that aren't in there. There are so many misquotes, it's unreal. The reality is the Bible does not contradict itself anywhere if it is read in context. Context is everything. You know, I love it when God is talking about food sacrificed to idols and somebody wants me to apply that to my wife. What? What does that have to do with my wife? It has something to do with food being sacrificed to idols. It has nothing to do with my wife. Why do you put the two together? Well, there's a contradiction there because over here it says that you should do this and you should do that. It's talking about women. And over here it says you should do this and you should do that. And it's talking about food. There's no contradiction. It's two entirely different subjects. Read the book. And that's the problem. Most people won't read the book. Why? They don't have a problem with the Bible. Do you know that? If people won't read the Bible, it's not because they have a problem with the Bible. It's because they have a problem with God. They deny God's authority. That's why they want to say, well, yeah, this that's written in the Bible, that's true. This wasn't. You know, that guy that got swallowed by a big fish, there's no way that could have happened. Come on, give me a break. There's no fish big enough in the world to swallow a human whole. Yes, there was. It was called a megalodon shark. We have their fossils. They ate Jonah and died. That's what I tell people. Eat one of God's prophets, he wipes you all out. The reality is, God's book is true, and it can be explained in so many wonderful ways. And the reality is, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is one of the only ways we're going to understand it. And we're going to get into that in just a little bit. But I want us to understand up front that with all these different authors, and I want you to think about this. It was written out over almost 1,900 years, okay? How many of you have ever read a book and 3 years later the author comes out with another book? It's supposed to be an add-on to it. And all of a sudden, you're going through the book, you're like, oh man, I love that book. And halfway through the book or a quarter of the way through the book, all of a sudden there's characters that were never there before. Or there are things that you're supposed to be able to follow happening. And it's like, well, where did that come from? How, you know, things have changed. Because as human beings, we seem to just kind of focus on what we want and we change things the way we want it to be, hoping that folks will catch up. You know, it's like reading the book and then watching the movie. You ever been there, done that? The movie is never like the book. Okay, never like the book. And how could over this period of time, with all these different languages, because we're talking language barriers here, just like we have barriers now, translating it to our own language from the original, and you've all seen where I've shown you difficulties in how the English is translated compared to the original writings, correct? How can we have all these different authors have such unity that there's no discernible contradictions? Simply because the human writers were not the authors, they were the pens. The author was God Himself. One of the things I like to say is God could not reveal Himself completely and totally all at once. Why? Because we couldn't handle it. God had to reveal Himself over time. If God were to reveal Himself all at once, it would have killed us all. What did Israel say when they met God for the first time and heard His voice? They screamed out to Moses, "You talk to us, because if He talks to us, we're going to die." Why? Because the first thing He did was speak the Ten Commandments to them, and they understood sin for the first time and realized they were dead. Think about the weight of that. All He did was say, "Hi, how are you doing? I'm God." And they said, "Oh." That's about what that opening conversation was. So God had to reveal it over time. And He used men to do it, because we're here over time. And we're each given a portion over time to complete and to work. These men brought the completion of God's Word into our lives. The second thing I want to talk to you about is something that I think is a reality. Most of us may not look at it so much so, but I think we can remember back. I think we can remember back, and even now some of us might have a little bit of trouble. And that is the reality that the Bible is a difficult book. How many of you have found that the Bible is a difficult book? You know, I got some of you shaking your head, yeah, okay. I can remember when I first started reading the Bible. There were times I would read the Bible and I would say, "What? You know, you want to be confused? Read the book of Chronicles and try and follow that." All right? All the, "He begat this one and that one begat that one, and they begat this one and they begat that one and that one begat this one, and oh, that was Simeon's brother and he begat this one and they begat that one," and try and follow that the whole way to the end. You'll go nuts quick. But the reality is, there's something going on here. What's going on here? Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Remember, this is what we believe about the Bible. And I had somebody here just a little while ago, because, you know, I've been doing these sermons. We started on God, who is God, what is God like, what are His attributes. And you know, now we're going through the Bible, and we're going to go through Jesus Christ. We're going to go through the Holy Spirit. We're going through a whole lot of stuff here. Why? Because we're just coming into the desert. We're walking through the desert. We're still in our journey. We're not far out of Exodus. We haven't gotten to the Promised Land yet, and we need to understand who God is, just as Israel did for 40 years as they walked with Him and worked out these doctrines. So too must we, as a congregation, work out these doctrines, establishing the foundations and then growing from there up. "But Pastor, we've been working as Christians for years." Wonderful. What do you know? "Well, I'm not sure." Let me tell you, this is what we're to know. This is what the foundation is all about. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Oops, I'm in chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in the first verse. "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquent or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved, to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who knows the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. What is all that saying? The Bible is a spiritual book. The Bible was written by the Holy Spirit. It was written from the infinite mind of God to the finite. That's us. How can the finite understand the infinite on its own? It cannot. We cannot understand God. We cannot know God on our own, for we are finite and we are sinners. But through the Holy Spirit, we can know the mind of God, for God dwells in us. When we come to a saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we accept by faith the Word of God and begin to operate therein and allow the Holy Spirit to operate within us, changing us from a mere physical man to a spiritual being filled with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God reckons with our spirit and brings us the enlightenment of the Scriptures. We can read these words and all of a sudden they make sense. One of the things that I love to ask Christians, have you ever read the Bible and you've been reading a passage and all of a sudden it just looks like that piece of Scripture is jumping off the page like it was highlighted just for you? I've done that so many times in my life where I'll be reading along in my daily devotions, I'm doing my thing, here's my Christian duty, I'm going to read my Bible for the day, and all of a sudden God shows up. Who expects such a thing? Every one of us that reads it should be expecting it, because it is God. This Word, when we read it into our spirits, is God. Sitting on this page, it's nothing. This book will burn at the end. But in me, when I take those words in me, the Word becomes God. And He is alive unto me. And that Word is alive unto me. And it speaks to me, and it speaks to you, and it speaks to us to change from whom we were to whom God wants us to be. It gives us the definitions of life. How many of us love to read a dictionary? Well, the reality is, there are some times when we read this Bible, that's exactly what it seems like. It seems like reading a dictionary, doesn't it? I didn't understand that, Lord. Lord, I still don't understand that. One of the keys to getting the dictionary unlocked is prayer. You need to be in the Spirit when you're in the Word. Why? Because the Word is Spirit. How do you expect to meet the Spirit if you're not in the Spirit? Why do you think God says He wants worshipers that worship Him in what? Human interest and knowledge? No, in spirit and in truth. we have to come to the Word of God in the same manner because it is inspired by the Holy Spirit. It is a full unity, and it is difficult to read. It's meant to be difficult to read. Why? So that those who don't believe will not find the way. But to those who do believe, it is the living way. And it is the way for living. The awesome thing is, when you read the Bible as a Christian, and when a scholar reads the Bible, do you think they get the same thing out of it we do? Absolutely not. They will find the history, they'll find the geology, they'll find the science. All the things I spoke to the children of here today. Do you see how the children's sermon kind of weaves in there? They will find all those things, and none of them can be disproved. And I think it's one of the most amazing things because everybody wants to disprove the Bible. Why? Because in disproving the Bible, we can prove that God doesn't exist. Folks, the reality is the Bible proves itself so much and so often, we cannot doubt it. We cannot doubt it. Yes, it's a difficult book. But by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, it is opened and unleashed to us. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to John in the 16th chapter, the book of John. In the 16th chapter. Verses 12 through 15. This is our Lord Jesus Himself speaking at this point in time as it's written here. And I want us to look at this because here's a reality that I'm trying to come to in understanding this stuff. You know, Jesus here is talking to His disciples, and I pray that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen? Because if we are, He's talking to us. Let's see what He has to say from the 12th verse through the 15th. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to Me by taking from what is Mine and making it known to you. Can you hear me now? There are certain times in life when you can get away with saying things like that. Sometimes you say that and people will say, who cares? Well, I hope you do in the reality of what we've just read and for that purpose. Because when the Spirit of God speaks to us, we should be able to hear Him. Because without the Spirit of God in us, we're not going to hear God. We're not going to catch the revelation. We're not going to understand the deep things as we read earlier. We're not going to understand the fundamental truths. That's one of the reasons I love to talk to people who don't read the Bible and they tell me what's in the Bible. And I generally don't tell them that I'm a pastor. Okay? That's a bad thing to tell people. I know that sounds horrible. What? You don't tell people you're a preacher? No. Because as soon as I tell people I'm a preacher, what happens? And they just skate. Okay? People... I had to laugh. That happened to me one time in an airport. Okay? Like an idiot, I wore my collar. I never went so quickly through the airport in all my life. I got through every checkpoint, it was so amazing. And then when it came time to sit, I'm thinking, oh my. And this lady looks at me and she looks at the seat beside me and she looks at me and she looks at the seat beside me. And I thought she was going to turn and ask the stewardess for another seat. She finally sat down and we began talking. So I guess you're a pastor. Yeah. Where do you preach? And we had a wonderful conversation, but I made sure she opened the doors. And that's the reality that I want to speak to you right now. God has opened doors for you into that Scripture if you're willing to walk into the doors. But you have to be willing to walk into the doors, just as I had to be willing to wait and walk into the door. Because not all Scripture is going to be revealed to you right now. Why? Because just as I said earlier, you're not ready for all of it. There's portions that Mitch is ready for right now, and there are other portions that he's been subject to for years. Am I right? And there's also portions that you just yet don't understand. And it's the same for me. And it's the same for Shannon, and it's the same for Whitey, and it's the same for Marion, and it's the same for Dennis, and it's the same for Bob. It's the same for all of us. We're all at different places in our walk and in our maturity. And it has no respecter of age. There's absolutely no respect of age, because I'll tell you right now, I know some teenagers that are much further along than some of our older folks. All right? And that's a reality. Because the teenagers have opened themselves to the Spirit of God, and He's taught them more. Because if our spirit's closed, can we take from the Lord what He's trying to give us? The answer is no. So as we grow and as we understand this difficult book, God allows us to learn more and more all the time. A student until the day we die. How many times have you read a portion of Scripture that you've read 50 million times and seen something new in it for the first time? Dan tells a story of a pastor who has taught on the Lord's Prayer. How many years did he teach on? He was in his 51st year of ministry, and he said, every time I preach on the Lord's Prayer, the 23rd Psalm. Every time I preach on the 23rd Psalm, I find something new. And that was in his 51st year of ministry. 51 years, and he's still finding newness. That's because the Spirit reveals things to us slowly in His time as we are prepared to understand it. Because if God gave it all to us all at once, it would utterly destroy us, for our uncleanliness, our nakedness would destroy us before God. And that's what I want you to remember as we leave here today, is the reality that God's Word is inspired by the Spirit of God for our benefit, so that those who are coming to life may read it and know. And so that those who are not, it is foolishness to them. They don't understand it. It makes no sense. Why? Because it will do them no benefit to know the Word of God if they know not God. Do you understand that? You have to know God before you can know the Word of God. And secondly, it is a difficult book. So if you don't get all of it at first, that's okay. Don't stop. Keep going. And take the time that's necessary to gain maturity. You know, I can remember being a kid, and you all can too. And as you were growing up, I can't wait to turn 16 so I can get my driver's license. I can't wait to turn 21 because then I can go drink. I can't wait. I'm 51 and I wish I'd been saying, man, I wish I'd have put the brakes on. Because I can wait for the rest of it. But guess what? It ain't waiting for me no more. But it's the same way with maturity in the Spirit. It comes in time. It comes as we grow into it. It comes as we submit to it. And that's one of the greatest keys. Because the Spirit of God wants us to get there in a healthy manner. It doesn't want to destroy us. It doesn't want to bring judgment on us. It wants us to succeed. He wants us to succeed. Can you say amen to that? Amen. So as we believe the Bible is the Word of God, the first two points I want you to remember, it is fully inspired. Okay? Not only does it contain the Word of God, it is the Word of God, written by God through men. And number two, it is a difficult book, but it's difficult for a reason. Because God wants us to have a relationship with Him, and He will unlock the treasures therein. Because if it's left to man's reason, then we can reason our way to heaven, and we cannot reason our way to heaven. That only comes through the Spirit of God, through the sacrifice of His Son, and the price He paid on Calvary, as we believe and receive that gracious gift. Amen? Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we have so much more to learn about the Bible, as next week we're going to be looking into even more of the reality that your Bible possesses special power, that your Bible encourages us to read the Word of God, to study the Word of God, and that, Lord, you indwell this Word in such rich and true ways as we submit ourselves to you through this Word, and just how important it is. Lord, I ask that you would move into each and every individual's life here, that they would begin anew, to become renewed to your Word, that they would study it and read it daily, treasuring it up and allowing you to teach us who you are and how we are to live. And Lord, showing us that this book is so much more than a book. It's life. And in that life, Lord, is a freedom from this world that only the Spirit of your choosing, the Spirit of thy holy presence knows. And Lord, you've given it to us. May we be freed from this life in that manner. And may we understand that we're to give that away. Gracious Father, we thank you for this day that we've had to come together. And it's been a wonderful time of worship and a wonderful time of teaching. But Lord, may we capture that teaching so that we may be transformed and changed to the image of He who is the Christ, our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.